But today we're going to see how God used the prophet Isaiah's word in the Old Testament to save an Ethiopian man in the New Testament. Okay, so now we've got a quiz to introduce our character we're going to be talking about today. So this is a person, and here we go with the, as usual, stand up when you think you know the answer. I share the same name as three other men in the New Testament. So there's four of these people all together with that name. I was one of the original seven deacons, servant leaders, dedicated to serve the Jerusalem church. I'll have to look at this one, I think. When the great persecution started, I left Jerusalem to become an evangelist in Samaria. The crowds listened to what I said, and there was much joy. Nobody up yet? The Holy Spirit led me to speak to an Ethiopian man. He was a member of the court of Candace and the Ethiopian queen. Thank you. Well done. The Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah and trying to make a sense of the prophet's words, so I offered to explain. After this, the Ethiopian man believed Jesus to be a savior, so I baptized him. The Spirit of the Lord carried me away to Azotus, where I continued to preach from there, along the coast to Caesarea. Caesarea later became my home. I had four unmarried daughters. Paul and Luke came to stay. I am Philip the Evangelist. Well done, those of you. Well done. So, our man is Philip. There we go. But context matters. We need to understand the Bible within the context of what's going on in the story. One of the things I like about Walk Through the Bible is it gives me a big context of the whole Bible, because it starts at the beginning and goes all the way through, and then you hear some bits and pieces and you know hopefully where you can put them in, and they make a bit more sense because you know what comes before and you know a bit of what comes after. So context matters. Today's topic will link the Old Testament writings with the New Testament, and we see that a man becomes a Christian through reading and understanding the words written by the prophet Isaiah. But today in our Western culture, we tend to rely very heavily on the New Testament if we're wanting somebody to become a Christian. But in the time of the early church, the very early church in the New Testament times, people didn't have the New Testament to read, to understand about what Jesus had done. So they came to faith in different ways than from reading the New Testament. And so some people, like Abraham, Moses and Paul, became believers through direct supernatural encounter with God. So God spoke to Abraham, Moses saw God at that burning bush, and Paul had a bright light and an audible voice. But lots of people became believers through listening. They heard the words of the prophets or the apostles or even Jesus himself. And so that verse in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we can see that in the Old Testament as well. Ezra was reading the scriptures to the people and they repented. They let those words sink into their own hearts and they said, we're done wrong. We need to change. And people have come to faith with a written word of scriptures. And this is like the Ethiopian eunuch. It's good also to compare the writings and the words. Do the words match up to what scripture says in the writings? And there is a group of people called the Bereans in the New Testament. They were commended for examining the scriptures to check that what the apostles were saying was correct and lined up with what the Old Testament taught there. And others became Christians through witnessing miracles, such as those who believed because they saw the resurrected Jesus. And there are many miracles which led to people believing. All the people we read in the Bible who became believers, so far they didn't really have the New Testament in writings, but they had to rely on the Old Testament and experiences relayed to them by the apostles and others who'd witnessed firsthand these events. And so those firsthand experiences were then written down as the New Testament which we can use, obviously, to inform our faith. So why don't we get into our walk through the Bible hand signs again to get a bit of context as where we are again. And so we've got them on the screen, yeah. And if you'd like to join, please join. So it's Greece, Greece language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, Spirit, community, servant leaders, Stephen, persecution, Philip's preaching. Okay, so we have first reading is Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. Could I have a reader, please? Acts 8, 1 to 8. Brian, you up for this? Thank you.
And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entered house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip, when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, so the context of these verses is the church is being persecuted. And the church had had an amazing start. If you remember at Pentecost, 3,000 people coming in on one day converted there. And many had joined them since that time. And a couple of sessions ago, we read about the problem in the early church, which was sharing out food to the widows. There was a problem with it, but they selected seven servant leaders to attend to that task. Stephen was one of those servant leaders. Stephen, remember, but he became the first martyr we read about and was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. And so they're only down to six now. Philip was another of these servant leaders, and we're obviously reading his story here today. But this is not the same Philip who was a disciple of Jesus. And there's two other people called Philip. They were sons of King Herod the Great by different wives. So that's the four, I think, that we know about. But the persecution of the Christians forced the Christians to leave Jerusalem. And Philip headed north to Samaria. The Samaritans were despised by the purebred Jews. And, you know, remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. The takeaway point is that, you know, nobody expected the Samaritan man to help the Jewish man. But there he was, the star of the parable. And so help came from an unexpected group of people here, being a Samaritan. But this is where Philip goes. And Philip is showing us that we need to lay aside any racial or ethnic prejudice that we can have, because Jesus has come for everybody, for all mankind. And so in verse 6, we read that the crowds listened to Philip. They were eager to hear his message and to see the miraculous signs that God performed through him. And so it's interesting, isn't it? Philip was in Jerusalem. The persecution starts really badly there. And so he goes out to Samaria. And there the crowds are really keen to listen and to hear of all about Jesus. And so this is quite an occasion. Verse 8 says there was great joy in the city. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? You know, there was great joy in the city because Philip was preaching about Jesus. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? The whole city is full of joy because they're hearing the gospel. And yeah, I like that. I'd love to experience that, you know, in our day and times. And it was quite dramatic, so much so that Peter and John had heard about it back in Jerusalem and they wanted to check it out. You know, they still weren't sure about the Samaritans coming to know Jesus. And in fact, a short while earlier, in Luke 9:34, John had said to Jesus, because something had gone wrong, he said, you know, shall I call down fire on this village, this Samaritan village? Because, you know, they're not accepting you. And yet now they seem to be fully accepting the message of Peter. But anyway, Peter and John do fully accept that the Gentiles can come to God. And we get there in a couple chapters, in chapter 10 and verse of Acts. But then next, we're not going to read it in Acts 8. It's an interesting account of a man called Simon, who is a magician, who becomes a believer. It's verses 9 to 25. So have a read at that if you'd like to at home. That's an interesting little passage. But we don't feel I got time to look into that this morning. So if we move on to Acts 8, verses 26 to 40, I'd love another reader if we can have one, please.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Okay, so we've got to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So Philip receives this message from God, the angel of the Lord, it says, and go south, down a desert road towards Gaza. But the thing is, you know, there's lots of exciting things happening in the Samaritan village. And I know this is one of Barry's favourite stories, and I ought to be giving it to him, really, but it's me here. So, but there are exciting things happening in the village. But Philip is told to go off down the desert road towards Gaza. But he does. He doesn't argue the fact, he just does. And off he goes. And he's an evangelist at heart, you see. So the location doesn't make any difference to him. Particularly, he wants to be talking to people about Jesus. And God says to him to go down this place. and so he's there. So it's good to follow God's leading every time, whether it's exciting or even if it's a bit ordinary. We need to be following because God knows so much more than we do. We know sort of this much, you know, where we want to be, perhaps who we want to talk to. But God knows everything. So it's just no comparison. So Philip goes and he sees an important man traveling along. This man was a treasurer of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is known as Cush in the Bible as well. So it's all a bit slightly confusing. But here's a map which helps us out a bit. And we see there Cush in the middle of the map. Egypt's just above it. The Mediterranean Sea, obviously above that. And Israel just there. And the Red Sea coming down the side. And Ethiopia is right at the bottom of Cush, sort of in the end of the Red Sea kind of place. So it's a long way from Israel. That's the purpose of seeing this, is a long way from Israel. The Red Sea is about 1,400 miles long. And so this guy was on a serious long journey. Yeah, we got another map coming out. And Jesus had said to the disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So this is illustrating that what Jesus has said is now happening. We've got Jerusalem in the middle of the circles there, Judea around it, Samaria next on, and the ends of the earth anywhere else, really, isn't it? And so... so the gospel is going out, and it's going out partly because of this persecution that's going on in Jerusalem. And we've got a memory verse. Can anybody remember the memory verse which kind of fits with this? Oh, we got it up there already. Okay, should we say this together? "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Mark 16, verse 15. Okay, so the Ethiopian guy had been to Jerusalem to worship God. So presumably he was a godly man visiting the temple to worship God. And now he was reading the book of Isaiah. And he'd got as far as chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. So I don't know if he started there or if he started from the beginning, but you know, this is where he is. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go and to walk alongside the Ethiopian man in his chariot, or run alongside, whichever speed he was doing. And so Philip does. Philip ran there, and Philip was keen to do what God wanted him to do. You know, are we keen to do what God wants us to do? Or are we a bit reluctant when God says, we feel God is saying, "Oh, really? Honestly?" You know, or will we be like Philip, running to do God's instructions? So anyway, those of us long-time Christians will recognize that this passage in Isaiah is referring to Jesus' suffering. But the Ethiopian didn't know that. And so Philip questions him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian man comes straight back, "How can I unless somebody explains this to me?" And we can easily think that sometimes when we get into the Old Testament prophets, you know, "I don't get what they're talking about. What is this? We need help." And so don't be afraid to ask for help. Never be afraid to ask for help to understand the Bible. Just go to good sources to look for that. Google is not always the best. Can take you anywhere, literally, I think. But go find some good sources, good people, to help you in these things. And so this guy asked Philip to climb on board and explain this prophet, what prophet Isaiah was talking about. He said, "Is he talking about himself or somebody else? You know, who's even in this story?" So, you know, he's trying to get the context of what's going on, but he's not just not understanding it. But Philip knows what's going on, so he comes on board. And so Philip started at that verse and told the Ethiopian all about Jesus. You know, Philip started from where the man was thinking, from where his head was, and he took him to where he needed to go to. And that's a great example, isn't it, when we're trying to communicate with somebody that we start from where they are. You know, we may not be comfortable where they are. They may be anywhere, in fact. But we start from where they are and we take them to where they need to be in their thinking about Jesus. And so Philip listened carefully to this man. He listened to the question and then he answered his question. And he responded accordingly. And so we too need to listen. If we're trying to tell somebody about Jesus, yes, we know what we want to say about Jesus, but we have to listen to them carefully in the first part to know how to proceed. We've got another old memory verse coming up. Should we just say this together? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. So this is, Philip obviously knew this. This is where he was leading this man. And this is where he arrived to, a wonderful thing. And once the Ethiopian understood about forgiveness through the death of Jesus, the Ethiopian asked Philip, he said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip says, "Well, nothing." And they're right there at the roadside. There was some water where he could be baptized. And it's probably a little bit unusual because this was a desert road. It wasn't a moor road like we have. It's a desert road and a lack of water. But there was some water. And so Philip said, "Yes, let's do this." And interestingly, the Bible tells us that they went down into the water and then he baptized them and he came up out of the water. And that just kind of suggests it's by immersion rather than a little bit of sprinkling of the water. but yes, if you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, have you been baptized? Ask yourself, what prevents me from being baptized? And you can come to us and see us because we'd love to help change that situation for you if that's your situation. So I think we could have our New Testament hand signs again at this point, can we, Jill? Am I on cue or not? Nope, I'm not on cue. Okay, communications. So what can we... Oh, here we are. Okay, let's just go for this then. Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, Spirit, community, servant leaders, Stephen, persecution, Philip's preaching. So what can we learn about Philip? Okay, we've had a few minutes on Philip. What are we going to learn from Philip? Does anybody want to chuck it out there straight away? What have you perhaps learnt? Would you like to share? What can we learn from Philip?
I like the fact that God's ways aren't always our ways. Oh, look how many people are being saved. Oh, look how wonderful the preaching is. No, what you're going to be told to one man. God's way, we shouldn't question it, but that's a wonderful lesson to learn.
And then we went on to Ethiopia, and I think his tradition says that, you know, he took Christianity to Ethiopia. Thank you, Andrew. Anybody else? I've got a few things written down. He listened to God. He listened and he acted. And he was quick to obey. That memory verse we had up just now That one, yes. Philip would have known this verse. He would have known that God's word is a lamp to his feet. In other words, guiding him where to go. And he's a light to his path, showing him the way. And so Philip would have believed this, and he did it. So should we just say this together? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Okay, I think that's all of those there, isn't it, Jill? Yeah. So Philip also listened to the Ethiopian man he was talking to. You know, he didn't just go, oh, this is a gospel, I'm going to give it to you. But he listened to the man, and then he told him about Jesus. He assessed his level of understanding the scriptures so that he could give an appropriate answer. He also followed through in explaining what it all had to do with Jesus. He was talking about Isaiah, reading about Isaiah, but he took him to Jesus. Obviously a very, very good passage to use for that. He baptized a new believer. And it's kind of interesting because this chap, he's on his way back to Ethiopia. You know, Philip's going to struggle to say, well, if you come into Jerusalem next week, you know, we can arrange a baptism service. And it'd be really good to have a chat through beforehand and all those things. He did it there and then. He was a brave man. He knew God's will there. He did it on the roadside. Philip could see that salvation was for both the Jews and the Gentiles, the Samaritans, the eunuchs, and all those in between, you know, everyone. And this was a radical thing back then for the disciples especially. You know, they'd grown up in a Jewish culture, which was very sort of you have to become a Jew type attitude. You're welcome to come and join us, but we're not going to come invite you kind of thing. But, you know, Philip had to do a lot of work. He had to know a lot of things to be able to tell this eunuch all the stuff about Jesus. He would have done lots of Bible study, lots of prayer, lots of effort he put in, lots of discussion with others to clarify it all in his mind. And the Thursday night prayer and Bible study meeting that we have here every Thursday, you know, it's a good place to do those things. You know, we can say, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about. Or what about this point? You know, you're saying this, but what about this point? You know, we can discuss these things and we can obviously pray. So it's a good place to be on a Thursday night. So things about Philip that hopefully will help us in our Christian life. Is that what we get? Anyway. shall we sing 748? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Philip told me all about Jesus via Isaiah. Shall we stand and sing 748? What a wonderful change. I just trust this is all true for us. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart.